As you guys squeeze up and come up here, I'm really, really excited for what we're going to talk about here tonight. And I've been thinking about it a lot over the past several weeks, and really, if I'm honest with myself, a lot over the whole last semester since we started school. And I won't lie, I feel like there's been a lot of times where the enemy has tried to like knock off course what we need to talk about here tonight or bring a bunch of distraction into it. But everything about tonight, every single thing that has happened up to this point has made me feel so confident that this is the direction we need to head as a group, and this is a truth that we must embrace if we are going to really be the type of place that God wants us to be and really be the type of people that he wants us to be. So if you're just joining us this week, this is the last message in a series of messages we've been going through called The Light of the World. And you've heard Jesus described as the light of the world probably no matter where you are or how much church you've been to. And especially around Christmas time, we hear about how Jesus came into the world. He came as a light into the world to get rid of darkness and to make a way for us to know him, to know the Father, and spend eternity with him. And that is an incredible truth. But there's so much in that statement, light of the world. And week one, Mike talked about what that meant for Jesus. What it meant when Jesus said, I am the light of the world, that he was the Son of God, that he died so that our sins could be forgiven and that we could have a relationship with the Father. And then we also saw how Jesus not only describes himself as the light of the world, he actually describes his followers as the light of the world as well. So if you're in here tonight and you're a Christian, you've given your life to Jesus, he says you are the light of the world. And we talked last week about what that does to us on a personal level. We talked about really just the insane change that comes into our lives when God says to us, you were darkness, you were dead, but now you're alive, and now I call you light. Not just like brightened up by light, but you've moved from being total opposites. You were 100% darkness, and now you're 100% light. And we know that's a lifelong journey. It takes moment by moment surrendering over to Jesus, but it's huge. It brings huge change into our lives. It says to us we don't have to live in defeat, that we really can do this thing because Jesus is the one who has changed us, and he is the one that is leading us. And today what I want to talk about is I want to talk about another huge effect, consequence, when God looks at his followers and says that you are the light of the world. I have a question for you. Have you guys ever, you don't have to answer, but have you ever thought this statement, like, why am I here? What am I here to do? Why am I on this planet? What is my purpose? I feel like every single person would answer, yeah, I've thought that in some way, shape, or form, right? Every single person who's ever been born is like, why am I here? What am I here to do? And we look for what our purpose is in all kinds of different things, right? Relationships, jobs, money, stature, all sorts of different things that we kind of look like, hey, maybe this is the reason why I exist. When Jesus looks at his followers and he says that you are the light of the world, you know what's really awesome and takes a huge load off my shoulders? Jesus looks at me and he looks at each of you and he says, I have given you a purpose. Your purpose, now that you are a follower of me, is your purpose is to be a light to the world. So that's all of your purpose. Every single person in here who is a follower of Jesus, your purpose, the reason that you're here, is to be a light into a dark world. That's what you're here to do. Easy, right? Great. Like, how simple is that? Jesus says that you are light. And we know that it's not quite that simple. And we know that that might look a little bit different depending on who you are and how God has put you together. But the thing that remains the same over the top of it all is Jesus says the reason you are here is to be light, to be hope, to be my hands and feet, to be a good example of who I am to a world who so desperately needs to know me. That's why you're here. That's your purpose. Jesus kind of explores this whole idea in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. And we're going to read it together, and it'll be up on the screen because I want to read it to you guys out of the Message paraphrase, which we read from time to time here. It's a paraphrase of Scripture, but sometimes he just has some really beautiful ways of describing the truth that we find in all other translations. And what happens here is Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he starts out with this statement in verse 13, which isn't up on the screen yet. In verse 13, he says, "Let me tell you why you are here." Jesus says, "You've been wondering why you're here. You're wondering what it means to follow me. You're wondering what you were put on this planet to do. Let me tell you why you are here." And then he gives them this metaphor about salt, which is like a whole nother message in and of itself. But because we've been kind of camping out on this metaphor of light, let's skip down to there. He says in verse 14, which you can follow along on the screen now if you want, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I have put you there on a hilltop on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Let me read you from another translation, that last verse. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is what we're here to do. This is what we as Christians are here to do, to be light, so that when people look at us, they see Jesus. So that when people see what we do, how we act, the way that we conduct ourselves, they would say there's something different about this person. I'm not even positive what it is, but eventually they get to the point where they can only say, I have to give glory to God who's in heaven, because no one else could do this in this person's life. This is what we're here to do. But so often it's easy for us to think, okay, being a Christian is going to church and reading a Bible and not doing a whole bunch of stuff that I read in the Bible, and making sure that at least the sins that still exist in my life are hidden so no one can see them. And as long as I got all those bases covered, I'm good to go. I'm happy to receive forgiveness. I'm happy to receive salvation from God, but I would just really rather just sit from here on out, and then when I die, I can go to heaven and spend eternity with him. Guys, we are missing a ridiculously huge part of following Jesus if that's all we think of him. We're missing our purpose of being here. There's a few really important truths, I think, that come out of this passage of Scripture that are important for us, important for me, and important if we're really going to be the type of group and type of people that God wants us to be. So let's work through this together. When Jesus says that we are the light of the world, it means that we have been saved to something, not from something. Okay? We've been saved to something, not from something. We have been saved to a purpose, to a job that God has given us, that he designed us to do. We haven't just been saved from spending eternity in hell. Now, here's the deal. When we receive forgiveness from God, when we ask for it and we receive it, that does change our trajectory. When we don't have a relationship with Jesus, the Bible is very clear. We will spend eternity separated from God. And that is something to be so grateful for, that when we start a relationship with Jesus, that changes. And we're saved from that. And instead, we get to spend eternity with God. That is huge. That is something we should be grateful for every second of every day. But so many people go their entire lives stopping right there, saying, oh, I'm so glad Jesus saved me. I'm so glad he died on the cross for me. I'm so glad that I'm not living the type of life that I would before I knew Jesus. But man, I have these friends at church, and we sing these songs I really like, and I'm really comfortable there. And I just would rather just leave it at that. I just would rather just leave it believing and functioning under this motto or whatever, that I've been saved from hell. Instead of doing what I think Jesus absolutely calls every one of his followers to do, which is to be saved to something, be saved to be a light in this world. I think, honestly, it's just easy for us to get selfish about our salvation. We're really glad that we have it. But guys, if we have the hope that the entire world needs, why in the world would we not take it to the world that is dying? But I think it's so easy for us to do, to just say, I'm so glad I was saved from hell, but then ignore that God has not just called us to be saved from something, but instead to be called to do something. I really believe this, that there are churches and that there are people, and I lived a lot of my life like this, like almost 20 years of my life like this, where I was the kid that was at every church event, every camp, had my hands raised as high as they could. I mean, at retreats and camps, stuff like that, I was the first kid up to the altar, snot everywhere. You know what I'm talking about? Like, just broken about my sin, wanting to be in relationship with Jesus so greatly. And that's exactly where it stopped. And I never gave a second thought to what God had called me to do in the lives of other people, because I was just so concerned with what I was doing. Can I just tell you from personal experience, I missed a huge chunk of what God is all about. I missed out on a huge part of God's heart. See, I believe that when we give our lives to Jesus, he wants to take us on this really dangerous and ridiculous and awesome trip, this awesome adventure where we get to know him more and more, and we get to share him with more and more people, and we get to do things that people who don't know Jesus just simply don't get to do in this world. We get to live with a sense of joy and peace and hope and happiness that the rest of the world just doesn't get to. And I believe that God wants to take us on that trip, but I think when we ignore this truth that we've been called or we've been saved to something, not just from something, we're missing our ticket. We're missing a huge stepping stone in being a part of what God wants to do in us and through us. Think of it like this. Have you guys ever traveled? And has anyone here ever traveled out of state, like on an airplane? Yeah, most of you. Have you ever traveled out of the country on an airplane? So a fair amount. So here's the deal. The further and further you go, the more and more complicated it gets for you to travel, right? And the more and more people you add to your group, even more complicated it gets. So you guys know we go on a mission trip. We've gone to Guatemala and Peru and Haiti and stuff like that. And having a group of 15 or 20 people and being responsible for all of their stuff is like really hard to keep track of everything, right? Like I have this Ziploc bag when I'm traveling with all of you guys with like 20 passports in it. And I'm like, I feel like a spy. This is awesome, you know? I can steal all these people's identities. This is great, you know? I remember I was on a bus one time. This kid like pulls on his mom's shirt. He's like, that guy stole a bunch of passports. And I was like, no, that is exactly what this looks like. I have like 20 passports in my hand. But the deal is, when I go on these trips, I gather up all the passports. I gather up all this money we need to take. I gather up all these forms, all of this stuff that we need to make this happen. And one time we were going to Guatemala a number of years ago, and we got to the airport, and I thought I was totally on top of everything. We had all this stuff, and me and Megan were going, and I have to tell you, I just have to confess this to you guys. Megan is like 3 times the person that I am, so like I'm really glad when she comes on trips and her involvement in this youth group, she's like, I'd be lost without her. But so I'm really glad she's coming. The trip will just be better as a result. But you guys know that she's Canadian, right? And so to be in America, she has a green card, right? And so to travel at all, she has to have her green card or they won't let her back into the country. So we get up to the ticket counter. We're checking in all the luggage. We're getting everyone checked in, and it comes to Megan, and we're like, okay, we have her form to leave the country, like liability stuff. We have her passport. We don't have her green card. And like, crap. Like this very much, there's a couple options here. Either she doesn't come, we take a risk and hope that someone will let her back in the country, or we send someone back to Modesto to try to find it as quickly as we can. Now, luckily for us, someone was really awesome and willing to drive all the way back from San Francisco. They got it all the way back to us, and she snuck in like just as we were boarding the plane. And it all worked out. But here's the deal. It didn't matter how much other stuff we had, right, to make this trip happen for Megan. She was missing the one thing she needed, which was her green card. The deal is, I feel like some of you guys feel frustrated about where your relationship with Jesus is at, and you feel frustrated about the state of the world, and you want God to change you, and you want God to use you. But I think for a lot of you, you're missing like this big part for it to happen. You're missing this understanding that, hey, I'm not in a relationship with Jesus just as fire insurance, so I don't have to go to hell. I'm in this relationship with Jesus because he's called me to do something incredible in this world. I think the sooner that we can do that, the sooner that we can actually walk out being real light in this dark world. The second thing that this passage, I think, says to us is that when Jesus says that we are the light of the world, it means that you are wherever you are on purpose. Let me say it again. You are, right now, wherever you are in life, you're there on purpose. You're not just a student. You're not just a son or daughter. You're not just a boyfriend or girlfriend. You're not just a friend. You're not just an employee. God has placed you where you are right now in your life, in every area that you find yourself, for a purpose. And we've determined what that purpose is, right? It's to shine light into dark places. It says in that passage that now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand. God has put you on the hilltop, on the light stand. He said, your job in all of that isn't to try to figure out how to get to this place where you can share what you have inside of you. I've put you in all the places that you need to be. Your only job in this is to just shine. Your only job as this is just to model the heart of God in every single circumstance you find yourself in. I'll be honest with you. I struggle with this one a lot because I go through most of my day and there are categories, right? Sometimes there's categories where I'm like, okay, this is it. Like, I've sat down with this person 3 times and we have a bit of a relationship and they seem like they're kind of interested in spiritual things. Okay, this is my opportunity to shine right here and right now. And while that might be, I never think of the person who's ringing me up at the grocery store that, hey, maybe God has me here in this moment for a purpose, and maybe I should say something here. I don't know what every single relationship that you have is like, and I wouldn't advocate every single time you go buy a coffee at Starbucks, be like, hi, my name's Kyle. Did you know that you're headed to hell and that you need Jesus? I could pray with you right now, and we could fix that, you know? Like, that's not what I'm saying to do. That's not a wise thing to do. I don't think the Holy Spirit would prompt you to do that. Maybe on the rarest of occasions. But when we approach every single interaction in our life knowing that God has a purpose for it, it means we are going to have our eyes open to the opportunities that are there and that God desires for us to step into. I heard it described this way, and I thought it was a really, really powerful way of describing it. They said, don't live rushed. Have you guys ever like started a day where you like woke up late and you just felt super rushed? You like throw your clothes on. You're like, that was today, you know. You throw your clothes on and you don't even know what you're wearing. You grab something for breakfast really quick and you run out the door. You try to get to school. You're late for everything. And it's just like a domino effect for the rest of your day, right? Everything else just feels super rushed. And I notice in my life when I feel really rushed, I get like tunnel vision. Does that make sense? Like I just am kind of like, okay, it's just the next thing in front of me because I'm running late and I'm feeling really rushed. There's no time for anything else. I just got to get to this next thing. I just got to finish this next thing. We run and run and run and sprint until the end of the day. But the problem is when we do that spiritually, we just have tunnel vision for whatever is next in front of us. We miss the opportunities that oftentimes God wants to bring into our lives. We miss the moment where God wants to use us to shine his light into dark hearts and dark places because our eyes are fixed on everything else, all the wrong things, what we're going to do with our future, what's going on with our friends, whether that boy or girl likes us or not, how we did on our finals. You know what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with spending time thinking about those things, but they can't be what guides our life. And when we are rushed spiritually, we will only focus on the wrong things and we won't see the opportunities that God wants to bring into our lives. But when we recognize that we are where we are on purpose, we have a much better chance of seeing the opportunities that God has put in front of us. The last thing that I think we see in this passage is that when Jesus says that we are the light of the world, it means that we do have an agenda. Now, I've thought about this a lot. So it says at the very end of that passage, right? In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Like, that's why you shine, is so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. And the idea of beginning a relationship, having a relationship with a person, and having an agenda feels kind of wrong, right? Feels like, well, shouldn't we just love them just to love them? Like, if the only reason that we love people, if the only reason we spend time with people is because we want them to know Jesus, is that just feels wrong, right? But you know what? The more I thought about it, the more I considered it, the more I prayed about it, what greater love could we possibly have for someone who is on track to spend eternity separated from God than to make sure that Jesus is all over every single conversation we have with them? Man, I would challenge that idea that, like, let's just be kind to be kind. Let's be kind because Jesus was kind. Like, let's show love because Jesus is love and modeled that love in what he did for us on the cross. Man, every single interaction we have, we should live with some sense of urgency. We can have an agenda and still genuinely love people. But I'll be honest with you, a lot of my interactions with people I meet through the church, on the street, the neighbor that lives across the street that I really am not super fond of, I don't go into those conversations with an agenda that they meet Jesus. I go into those conversations either wanting them to end super fast or that there won't be some sort of issue or that I can just move on to the next thing. Man, could you imagine how different your life would be if every interaction you had an agenda? And I'm not saying be a jerk, and I'm not saying force feed the gospel to people, but man, Jesus should be the motivation behind everything that we do, including every opportunity we have to model Jesus and to shine light into a dark world. Jesus makes real love possible, and that's the sort of thing we can actually show people when we live with an agenda. So maybe you're sitting there and you're like, okay, this stuff is true. Like, I believe that. In fact, I would love to be able to live like that, but I just keep finding myself in this place where I don't. Like, if I had to look at my life and do a little bit of self-assessment, I'm just like, I'm not shining light. I'm doing a whole bunch of other things, and I really do love Jesus, but I'm not shining light into this dark world. I think that there's a couple frustrating and uncomfortable truths, a couple options as to why we are not shining light into a dark world. And I wrestled a lot with whether to say this stuff, in particular this thing. Because I in no way want you guys to feel like there's a ton of guilt pressed on you. Because I can't guilt you guys into doing this. And I don't want you to feel like there's a whole bunch of doubt being brought into your life because of this. Because I don't want that either. And I don't think Jesus does. But I think we got to ask ourselves, be willing to ask ourselves some pretty hard questions when it comes to our unwillingness to embrace the purpose that God has placed in our lives. I think it really does come down to one of two really uncomfortable options, uncomfortable truths. One totally possible option, if you consistently reject the purpose that God has placed in your life, is that you don't have the light. You don't have that relationship with Jesus. I am in no way saying, those of you guys who have committed your life to Jesus, I am no way saying that you somehow fell out of it or that, you know, that I'm bringing all this doubt into it. But here's the deal. If you were just raised in the church and you come because your parents make you, maybe you've never made that decision for yourself. How in the world could we show the love of God to a world that needs it if we don't first have it in us? 1 John chapter 4 talks about this. He says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us." We can't love people well until we know the love that's been given to us. And maybe that's what I said about coming to church all the time and you're here because just generations of your family has been coming here, like, resonates with you. I would encourage you to ask, like, have I ever embraced this call in my life myself, for myself? And if you haven't, man, there's an opportunity before you right here, right now, for you to do that. Ask your small group leader when we go to small groups. Guarantee they'd love to talk to you about that. That is one uncomfortable option as to why we are so resistant to embrace the call that God has placed, the purpose that he has placed on our life. The other equally disturbing to me option, which I'll be honest with you, this is where I fall a lot of the time, is we just simply don't care. We just simply don't care where people are going to spend eternity. And I know you're like, but I do. I care about people. And I would say that too, but then I look at how I interact with people. I look at the opportunities I take with people to share God's heart and his mind and his purpose in their life. And I'm like, I don't care about them that much. Not enough to have an awkward conversation. Not enough to give up some of my time. Not enough to give up some of my resources. We got to be willing to answer that question honestly, or it's going to be a huge problem in what God wants to do in us. And maybe it's not quite so malicious as that we just don't care, but maybe we've forgotten just how important it is, our job in the plan that God has for this world. Sometimes I feel like I've forgotten my purpose. I just get so much into the swing of things, doing church things, doing kind of in a rut, and I forget that God has placed me here on purpose, for a purpose, not just to make it through, but to actually make change in this world. And maybe that's where you guys are at. You're like, I know that God is real, and I know that he loves me, and I know that he can change lives, but I just have kind of forgotten that he's called me to be part of that as well. See, I've been thinking about this a lot, and I think 2017, like this is our last meeting before then. I think 2017 has the potential for us as Crosspoint students, specifically the high school group, for us to really say, like, okay, maybe we've been messing around for a while. Maybe we've just kind of been coming and going through the motions. Maybe we've kind of forgotten the purpose that God has called us to, but no more. 2017 this is the year that I'm going to embrace this. I'm going to take every opportunity God puts in front of me. I'm going to live with a sense of urgency. I'm going to go to every part of my life that I touch and understand that I am there for a purpose and that God wants to use me to shine light into dark places. I think that's something we need to commit to as a group, and it's something I would challenge you to commit to as an individual. Because I think God does have a lot of really cool things he wants to do through us as a group. But if I can be honest with you, I feel like I've kind of forgotten over the past several months. So here's an opportunity, entering into a new year, for us to really embrace what's important, for us to really understand the purpose that God has called us to, and to let absolutely nothing stand in the way of that. And if we do that, we have seen that in Scripture, we see it in history, it will bring ridiculous change into this world, into your families, into your schools, into your teams, into this youth group, church, and this town. We don't have to hype up Jesus. That's actually what happens when we really embrace the call that he has placed on our lives. So I would encourage you to talk with your small group. How are we going to do that in the new year? We got some of you guys only have one semester left in this group. Then take advantage of it. Some of you guys have a ton of semesters left in this group. And start off on the right foot. And let's make a difference in this town that no one can attribute to anything other than a move of God, so that when they look at us, they see us shine so that they will give glory to our Father who is in heaven. And then they will be called into the very same purpose that we're functioning under. That's a huge calling. It's an awesome calling. And it's one that God offers to each and every one of us. So let's take it together. Pray with me. And then you guys can head to your groups. Jesus, thanks so much for who you are and what you're doing. God, thanks for the gut check on this. Lord, we never want to be a group that's known for anything other than we are a group that leverages everything for the sake of people who don't know you. Lord, when people look at Crosspoint students, when people look at Kyle, when people look at the individual names of every single student who is in here, God, I pray that when they look at us, they would say, man, they love Jesus and they just will not shut up about him. Like everything that they do revolves around Jesus. God, I pray that that would be the honest observation people have of our lives. And God, I'm sorry for those of us in here who've kind of gotten caught up doing a bunch of other stuff. I'm so grateful, Lord, that there's forgiveness for that, and there's an open hand for us to step back into the purpose that you've called us to. God, we love you. We thank you. And God, I pray that you just continue to work in our hearts, continue to show us the directions you want us to go, make our eyes aware of the opportunities that are already in our lives right now. You're awesome. You're wonderful. Thank you so much for leading us and guiding us. And Lord, we're really excited for the places that you're going to lead us from here. In your awesome and amazing name, amen.